there are things that we've got to look at. Because, you know, it's more than us. You know, us, we have a pretty good fellowship here, the people who study in this room. But that aside, it's not just about us. It's about a whole body of believers out there who are off into some really twisted stuff. There is no real commonality anymore. One of the things that we have, well, one of the main things we have focused on as far as the church is concerned is what God is concerned with. What God is concerned with right now for the church. Yeah, we have the Great Commission. We have the importance of reaching the lost with the true gospel of Christ. And that, I don't want to diminish that importance at all. But where the church is concerned, the thing that God is most concerned with at this moment is the unity of the faith and the purity of the gospel of message. Gospel message. And let's look at that. First of all, a gospel message that is pure. With 38,000 different denominations, we end up with 38,000 different gospels. There's a reason that they are not all the same. There's a reason that you can't feel comfortable leaving one church and going to another church that calls itself Christian. And saying, well, you know, as long as they believe in certain things, they're okay. You know, I found that one of, not only to be stupid, but one of the most hypocritical things I've ever heard. If a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of Christ person or anybody were to tell you that, they're a hypocrite. Because there is a reason why they are the denomination there are. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't be that. You understand? If they didn't think that you were better off being a Baptist, they wouldn't be a Baptist. If they didn't think that they were better off being a Pentecostal, you would, you know, if they didn't think you were better off being a Pentecostal, they wouldn't be a Pentecostal. So what they're telling you, well, it doesn't matter as long as you're a Christian and you believe certain things. You know, as long as you have the essentials, right? And they describe what the essentials, that's garbage. Because in the first place, they don't believe that themselves or they wouldn't be what they are. That's like offering somebody a consolation prize. Well, I don't want to argue with you, so really, I believe Pentecostals are the best, but I don't want to argue with you, so I'll placate you. That's really what they're saying. Because if they really believe that drivel, it wouldn't matter to them what denomination they were. Now, how many of you believe that's true? Fact is, the truth matters. If the truth can be known, it should be known. And you know what? All of the things that divide these people between denominations, between their arguments with each other, all of these things are easily solved with Scripture. All of them. Not some of them, all of them. But the only point with that is, you must give the Scripture its place. You must allow for the Scripture to have authority in your life. You must believe it is in fact the Word of God. And you must believe that it was given to you for this reason. Let me tell you something. The unity of the faith is never going to happen by some kind of ecumenicism where people just compromise on what they consider the essentials to be. Because that's not unity. There is no compromise. In the gospel, there's not an inch of compromise. There's the truth, and anything short of that is not the truth. How many of you believe that? There's the truth, and anything short of that is not the truth. If you can't know exactly what the truth is, then we're all in trouble. If it's impossible to know what exactly the truth is, then we have been left as orphans, which Jesus said would not happen, which Jesus said God would not do, which Jesus himself said he would not do. How many of you know where that verse is in John? I will not leave you as orphans. I don't have a way to post anything right now. Can somebody post that? You know where that's at in John? I will not leave you as orphans. Listen, if God, if Jesus left us feeling around in the dark with no ability to ever be sure of what the truth is, then he has left us as orphans. You can't have it both ways. How many of you believe that? If you can't know what the truth is in all of these things, that means that God's not in control. That means there is no absolute truth. John 14, 18. Well, I've got no way to post it, but I can read it. Hold on just a second. Chapter 14 is where he's going away to send us the Holy Spirit, right? I will ask of the Father, verse 16, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Notice what it's called, so that you understand that what Jesus said concerning us being orphans pertains to this issue, knowing the truth. The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And that's what Jesus promised his disciples, and that's what we have received, right? In receiving Jesus, you have received a deposit of the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And I will ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, this talks about, very clearly, the relationship and the fellowship that we can have with God through the Spirit of truth that he has given us, that we are linked to him, that this is the source of our information, that this is the source of our revelation and our leading. Remember, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. We have not been left as orphans. But that's what 38,000 denominations would have you believe. That you've been left as an orphan. That you've got to go out there and pick who your own parents will be. You know what I mean? And that what you end up with will depend upon one of three things. It'll depend on one, whether you, is that what you were raised as? Two, when you got involved with religion, is that because that's the people who spoke with you first were involved with? Or three, you compared them and you chose it. See, those are the three ways that you get involved with any of these denominations. Those are the three ways. God is not the fourth way. God doesn't involve you with denominations. God involves you always with his word and with his son and with his people, wherever they may be. God doesn't involve you with denominations. God has never put anybody in the position where they have to choose a denomination over another. It's only those three ways that you end up in a denomination. You were raised in it. The people who first led you to Jesus were of a particular denomination. Or three, you compared denominations and chose one that you thought best suited you. That's how you end up in a denomination. But let me ask you, are any of those three ways valid? Seriously. Are any of those three ways valid? Let's say you studied them all, compared them with the scripture, and found the one that was closest. Well, let me make a point here. The one you thought was closest. You thought, not God thought, you thought. That's the first problem. The second problem is the closest. Because you know what? You're not going to find one that's perfect. Are you? That means you're going to have to overlook some things. No matter who you choose in that situation. Because you're not going to find one that tailors to everything you like, period. You're going to have to overlook some things, and you're going to have to decide the importance of those things, and what do you end up with? You end up with the same hypocrisy of, well, as long as they believe in the essentials. Because you're the one who decided what those essentials were. Do you see that? Suppose you were raised in one. Well, you've never did any thinking at all about it. You have no idea. You've just accepted what you were told. You probably, if you're in that position, you probably never even questioned it. The people you studied with were of this denomination, so you joined it. Well, it's obvious. You did it not because of the denomination. You did it because of the people you met, you liked. And you want to be in fellowship with them. So where they go, that's where you go. And that's, you may have given that some thought, but not a whole lot. Let me take it from me. The reason that most people are Jehovah's Witnesses that were not raised in it, it's because they made a personality match with whoever it is that came to their door. And that's why they are where they're at. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with believing with, in the beginning, with believing what they were being told. it becomes expedient to accept those things if you want to maintain relationships with people who are Jehovah's Witnesses. I know exactly how those people work. And it's not just true with them, it's true with a lot of them. But do you see those three, do you see those 3 points I made? Do you think that's true? Those are the only 3 ways you'll ever become part of a denomination. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, whatever. Those are the only 3 ways you'll ever become involved with one. There is no other way. But the important thing is, it'll never be because God said, these people are right. This organization is right. It'll never be because of that. God will join you together with people. God will teach you the truth of the Scripture, by the Scripture, through the Scripture, by His Spirit. But it's not God that sets you in a denomination, you know, or an organization like that. Those things are of the world, not of God, just by their very nature. Y'all believe that? I want you to see that I'm not just making this stuff up out of the air. The truth has to matter. And if the truth does matter to you, you will seek God till you find it. And you know what? If you're seeking God and you're hearing from God and you're in a relationship with God, He is not going to let you settle for less than the truth, is He? There's no compromise in the gospel, is the point. We must have one gospel. We must have one unified message as revealed by the Spirit through the Scriptures. This is the good news, and there isn't another one. And the first point leads to the second. We can never have a unity of the faith as long as we never agree on what the truth is. That's kind of one of those duh moments, isn't it? How can two walk together? Unity, unless they agree. It's right there in the Scripture. I don't have to do a whole lot of explaining on that. There can be no unity of the faith without an agreement on what the truth is. And if we're settling for less than that, then we're settling for less than what God wants to give us. And if we think this is impossible with men, guess what? That's right. That's true. It is impossible with men. I think men have demonstrated that. But this isn't about what's possible with men. It's about what's possible with God. It's about us claiming to have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. Through faith, we can have a unity of the faith and a pure gospel message. We can have the miraculous power of God working to draw us together and knit us together as one and strengthen us as one and bring us all into agreement as one. We can have that. But it's not something we can produce of ourselves. We are called to be a supernatural people. And if you look at all of these denominations, every one of them, in spite of the lip service they pay to God and the idea of a supernatural, what do they rely on instead? Look at it. They rely on witchcraft. They rely on manipulation. They rely on extortion. They rely on the machinery of men, not God. They beat you over the head with scriptures to scare you if you don't give them money. They twist other scriptures to make you believe that they're the ones who have the truth and no one else does. Yeah, and they make stuff up because it's just not there. They are businesses. And here's an important point. Think of a single denomination that's not a business. Think of a single one of these churches that's not based upon the business model. Look, there's good congregations of people, but it doesn't have anything to do with denominations. It has to do with people who are seeking God and are probably doing the best they have with what they have. But there's good denominations of people who care. There's even great people who care in some of these lousy denominations. Just as I'm sure there were great Jewish people who cared while they were trapped in Babylon. But the fact that they're entrapped is of no doubt. Do you understand? It's of no doubt. Just because a person's in a denomination doesn't make them not a Christian. We're separating the organizations from the individual. There are many people in these churches who are lost. But at the same time, there's quite a few people who aren't all that lost. They just don't have a better place to go. They're holding on to what they have. And I'm not here to pass judgment on them for that. But we must judge what is true from the scriptures, right? We must make sure of all things and hold fast to what is good. That's scripture, that's not me. We must check it out and see if it isn't so when we're told things. We must make those comparisons to the reality of God versus the things that men say. And we must hold those who make these claims accountable. But you have to decide, just like I have to, did Jesus leave us as orphans? Or do we have a source that will lead us and guide us into all truth? Yes or no? We've already agreed if the truth can be known, it should be known. You may say I'm in here that I'm preaching to the choir. But you know what? A realization of what it is that you're involved with and where you're at, it's only natural to ask yourself where you fit into all of this, right? Who are we of and what are we of? And how do we know? Because those aren't just questions we need to be able to answer for ourselves. Those are questions that we need to be able to answer from the heart, from all of those out there who would ask us to give a reason for our faith. True? you should have a pretty good idea of why you are where you're at, why you're doing what you're doing, why you're going where you're going, why you're studying with who you're studying with, why you have fellowship with who you have fellowship. You should know those answers so that you could be quick and instant to give those answers when asked. We are not trying to make more orphans. We are not trying to pull people out of orphanages just to let them wander the street. We're trying to bring them into God's house. And in order to do that, we, of all people, need to be assured that's where we're at, is in God's house. Right? We need to be sure that we are His servants, that we have not sent ourselves. We need to be beyond the guilt of what they have done for so long. We need to be careful. We're not trying to just get people to join our club, or that we can somehow program them with new doctrines because the things they believe are wrong. We don't want to program anybody. We want them to see the truth, to see it in order to believe it, in order to know it's true. We don't get any brownie points for that. Right? This is part of the sacrifice of our lives. If you cannot wholeheartedly bring people into fellowship with you because you believe it would be good for their life, then you have to ask yourself where your life's at. I invite people into my fellowship with God, with Jesus, because I believe it's a good place for them to be. I couldn't get up and teach or preach otherwise. And if you don't believe that your life fits that, then why would you invite them if you're not sure? You see what I mean? My point is, we of all people need to be sure of what our faith is of and who we're of, what house we're in. That's why we're looking at this today. Not just so we can point fingers at what's wrong, but that we can reason through it and understand there is a reason that we're not Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostals. There's a reason for that. There is a reason we claim no other name but Christian. We believe that we are of God's house. And if we are of God's house, then you can see that there are so many that are not. Living with a true vision of what the world is and what's going on around you, that's no little thing. That's a great thing. That kind of discernment is practically non-existent today. And we need the confidence of that kind of faith to push forward to what we're called to do. Amen? So I want this to be more than just about ranting or raving about what's wrong. It really comes down to, how do we know what's right? And I guarantee you, if you know what's right, because you have met God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and has led you through the teaching, whether you heard me teaching it or whether you read the scriptures and the Holy Spirit spoke those scriptures to your heart and made them clear, however it is the Holy Ghost did that, it's got to be by the scriptures through the Spirit, right? And you can have confidence in that. And therefore have confidence that there is a place. A place that God is setting up for His people to go. For His people to congregate. For His people to be seen as a body. You've got to have confidence in that. Right? And you also have to have confidence that He has set you to be a part of that. He has made you part of that facilitation to bring people into His house. Because you've come early. You've come early and got a big piece of the truth. Just like in the old church service, anybody who came early and got a big piece of pie, because they got there early, they also have to stay late and help put the chairs away. Anyway, that's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.